You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guest is Jackie Manning from the State Library Archives and Museum, and Larry McNeil, photographer. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Larry, would you please say your full name for us?
It's Larry McNeil, and I'm also known as T. Howard Jackson to friends here in Juno, and Heide, it's my Tlingit name.
Thank you. You're a photographer and an activist and a teacher and probably many other things, and you're here today to talk about your exhibit opening at the State Museum this first Friday. Before we talk about that, though, I'd love the opportunity to ask you about yourself and your background, if that's all right.
Yeah, sure. I grew up here in Juneau and in Alaska, and lived here until I was about 10 years old. And so this is like homecoming week for me, you know, seeing all the sites and so forth where I hung out when I was a kid.
When did you become a photographer?
When I was about 18, and then went to school of photography after that. So essentially been a photographer most of my life.
I wonder if you would comment on the history of photography and Native Americans and how that has influenced your work.
Yeah, well, actually, there's a long history of Native American photographers starting back in the 19th century, especially here in the Northwest. And it continued on until about the same time as Edward Curtis was making his photographs in the early 20th century or so. And then there was kind of a hiatus. And then there is a large group of photographers, Native photographers right now, and younger photographers than me. So that's really nice. You know, there's another generation coming in making beautiful photographs.
Absolutely. Raven is featured in much of your work. Here's a caption from Raven Bears Witness. Raven is a black silhouette as the human chokes for air, which could be a compelling metaphor for how humans and animals struggle for survival in these times. Could you tell us what you were thinking when you wrote that?
Yeah. Raven, in of course, here in the Northwest Coast culture is a trickster. And I really love the idea of that mythological character and bringing her and him into the 21st century. You know, and for example, just walking around today, we saw ravens all over the place, and including up on the hill where one was singing to us. So Raven is here today, and I was out making photographs of more of them. And I just love the intersection of cultures, you know, with in bringing Raven into the narrative and so forth.
Does Raven represent different things at different times in your work, or is Raven always true to his or her character?
I don't know. I think that's what makes it interesting to me, is that I can never quite figure it out yet. And I think that's part of the fun, is trying to figure it out. I mean, for example, just like today, you know, walking up the street, and it's the same raven we saw a year ago, and the acoustics are perfect right at that intersection. And there she was again, singing to us, and still trying to figure that out. You know, what's that all about?
Yeah. It's your personal raven. Pontiac, the car, is also another recurring motif in your work. What is the reason for that?
That goes back to a series I made a while back about Pontiac was on a hood ornament, and you know, it was a very compelling photograph, and so I wanted to use it in a series brought into today. And so instead of Pontiac being a hood ornament from the 1930s, you know, Pontiac was here talking with Raven about different things. And it was kind of their conversation was more like kind of a riff, you know, them just bouncing fun ideas back and forth, so forth.
In your work titled Raven Asks Pontiac, Pontiac says, "Why are you asking so many questions?" And Raven says, "I like shiny stuff, and boy, are you shiny."
Yeah. Raven is kind of a humorist, too, I think, and just kind of winging it. That's the way I like to put it. Raven is always winging it and, you know, having fun at it. Sometimes at other people's expense, sometimes at their own expense. Yeah.
In addition to being an incredible visual artist, you're also an activist, environment, and environmentalist. And I heard a rumor that you once worked on the pipeline. Are those two things connected?
I did. They're definitely connected. Because the pipeline actually paid for my photographic education when I was young. I think I was just 20. And these days, that's a kid, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, it's just a kid way back then. But still, working in the oil industry and having to pay for my photographic education. And then with global climate change, you know, I became more environmentally aware and so forth. And I was a bicycle commuter for 5 years. And I really like that, you know, the idea of helping with the environment. And then I got hit by an SUV and I couldn't do that anymore. And so now I have this cool little hybrid car. It's a little Volt and feels like a little sports car. You know, it's like, wow, this is environmentally conscious. I can like zoom around down in this thing, you know. So to me, that just means, well, you can be environmentally conscious and have fun too, and, you know, burn less gasoline.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we have two samples of your work here on our website, ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. Can you tell us a little bit about this first one? What's being communicated in this image?
Yeah, that one, I actually kind of borrowed that from Edward Curtis. And that's his flagship photograph that's in a kind of goldish color. And he titled it The Vanishing Race. And that was the entire premise of his, you know, magnum opus body of work. You know, is that Native Americans were a vanishing race, and of course we all know that that's completely false. You know, and so anyway, it transformed it like a raven transforms things and changed it into a winter ceremony. You know, one of the sacred ceremonies that happens on the winter solstice. So instead of fading into the sunset, they're celebrating a new year, you know. And so I really like that. And it was a lithograph, and I made. If you look at the bottom, it's being digitized, mm-hmm. you know. And if you look at it at an angle, you can see all the names of a lot of the different Native nations. And it was made for a world audience, you know, as part of a. State Department sponsored it. So it's being showed internationally. And I really. So anyway, the photograph or the lithograph is made for embassies around the world where dignitaries would come in and figure out what America was about. You know, so I kind of turned things around with it.
And this is the one that's in Nigeria?
Yeah,
you know? It's hung in the consulate in Nigeria. This photograph as well.
Wow, are a lot of your works displayed worldwide?
Yeah, that's nice. I wish I traveled as much as my work did. As a matter of fact, my wife and I made a deal. Said, "Hey, let's go on a quest. Let's go visit by art around the world."
What a wonderful idea! Was this vehicle part of the original? Lithograph?
No, that was the fun part, you know, adding the old beat up, I call it a res truck, you know, reservation truck. And it's, you know, just kind of fading back into the earth there, you know, and people are riding by on their horses and one of them's glancing over at this old res truck on the side.
Yeah. And is this a part of the new exhibit, this other image? Oh, no, this is an older photograph of yours.
Yeah, that was made when I was 22, 1977. That's going to date me. And I really love that photograph so much because it helped kind of set the tone for my career. You know, it allowed me to make my own style of photographs. And it's titled Real Indians because it's a self-portrait of me standing in front of a trading post in New Mexico. And it's kind of a quirky photograph. You know, it says real Indians, you know, we're real Indians trade, you know, come on in and, you know, and you can interact with real Indians.
I imagine that must have been very funny to you if you were driving by and saw that.
It was, you know, when I first saw it, I did a double take and I drove back to it because I had driven past it. It was one of those things that was just so quirky, you had to go back and see it for real.
Did it upset you at all?
No, I liked it. It was so funny. I thought, you know what? This is so funny. I want to make a photograph. No, I want a photograph of me here. Yeah.
So the new exhibit or the show, McNeil, it's titled McNeil, Real Indians, parentheses, and Curtis. Could you tell us a bit about that? That's the one that's going to open Friday at the State Museum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has to do with Edward Curtis, you know, and his quirky premise, you know, and about the vanishing race. Indians were supposed to be the vanishing race. So it's just kind of turning. It's like Raven, actually. You know, Raven transforms things. And that's really what's happening with the title of this exhibition. You know, it's turning the tables on Edward Curtis just like a raven would do, which is fun, you know. So if you go in and you walk around the exhibition, you'll start getting a sense of that, you know, feel that, you know, the ideas and so forth.
And as part of the opening on Friday evening, there will be a lecture as well with yourself and Ernestine Hayes. What are you going to be talking about?
I'll be talking about a lot of the specific images in the show and how, you know, some of the layers of meaning that are in some of them, including this Real Indian Sweat, just like we're, as just now describing to you. And some of the photographs are actually quite complex, and some of them are very simple. And I really love the ones that are so straightforward. You look at it and you just get it. You know, that's what I like about a lot of it too, including Curtis's work. You know, I really enjoyed, you know, looking at the collection that the museum owns and selecting those ones that would look good in the show, too. You know, a good representative.
That's terrific. So that show's opening this Friday, this first Friday, November 2nd, State Library Archives and Museum. Jackie, do you want to tell us more about the details?
You know, let me just give you the times. And, of course, our first Friday openings are always free. So opening reception will be from 4:30 till 7. And then following that at 7 o'clock in the lecture hall, we will have the lecture with Larry and then a discussion following with Ernestine Hayes, and that is also free. So please come, and the exhibit will be up through January 12th. So if you can't make it this Friday, you've got time.
Thank you. Larry, anything else to add today?
Just that I wish everybody will show up, all my old buddies and friends and new friends. Yeah, please show up and come and see it.
Welcome home, and I am certain you're going to have an incredible turnout tomorrow night. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.